Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the reading just heard from the lecture in Hebrews chapter 9, especially verses 9 through 11, and also verses 12 through 14. To read those verses, according to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until the time of reformation. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things about to come, then by means of the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Thus far the text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is better to have the real thing. We are aware of imitations, for example, in the area of food or clothing materials or jewelry, and we know that the real thing tastes better, feels better, looks better, has more value. People are honored when a representative attends a function, but this does not match when the president or the king himself comes. John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Messiah. He prepared the way for him. He was a great prophet of God, but he was not the Christ. Our text speaks about the real thing with which our salvation is connected. This passage from Hebrews proclaims that because of the real thing, we have wonderful comfort and certainty. To fully appreciate our text, we have to remember what is the background for this discussion in these verses, namely, that we are sinners in desperate need of rescue from hell, but unable to save ourselves. The facts, which we cannot sweep under the rug, are our original sin because of the fall in Eden, and the trespasses which we have committed during our lifetime, already in the past, and which we will commit. What rescue is there for us sinful human beings? In response to this question, the author of our text explains that various aspects of the Old Testament ceremonial law in themselves did not provide such rescue. These aspects included the sacrifices and regulations concerning food, drink, and ritual washings. Yes, they could provide limited comfort to an Old Testament believer in that by fulfilling these, the believer knew he was living according to the will of God. Also, if he had become unclean, say, by touching a dead body, through a ceremonial washing, he would find relief in knowing that he was again ritually clean. But in themselves, these features of the ceremonial law could not, as our text says, perfect the conscience of the worshiper, free his conscience of sin and guilt. That was because all of these washings and all the blood of the sacrificed bulls and lambs and goats did not wash away a single sin. With regard to deliverance from sin and salvation, they were not the real thing. Rather, the ceremonial law both reminded and foreshadowed for the Israelites. The law reminded the Israelites that they were set apart for the worship and service of Yahweh, and that Israel was the chosen nation from which the Messiah would come. Especially the sacrifices foreshadowed, pointed ahead to Christ. And using the words of our text, the time of reformation, of the new order, when He would bring everything to completion. The Old Testament Israelites had their conscience cleansed, not because of the sacrifices in and of themselves, but only through faith in what these sacrifices foreshadowed. The coming Messiah and his carrying out his messianic work to fulfillment. In this way, the believers receive forgiveness of sins through the sacrifices because of the future Savior and his sacrificial act. With the real, genuine Lamb of God, the actual redemption of all people, including you and me, was accomplished. The author of our text, as if he were examining closely the facets of a beautiful diamond, reviews what was involved in this ransoming achieved by the Messiah. The Redeemer is Christ, true God, the Son of God, and also true man, as foretold by the Old Testament. He was the perfect substitute for all people, sinless, holy, the Lamb without blemish, able to bear the sins of the world and to pay the price for them. He willingly gave himself into bloody suffering and death, enduring the penalty of hell which we deserved. He appeared for us in heaven, or the heavenly sanctuary, of which the earthly tabernacle and temple were only a symbol. He appeared in this holy place by means of his own blood, his completed redeeming work. There, his self-sacrifice on our behalf was fully accepted by God the Father, who sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. In this manner, and for this purpose, Christ entered, as our text says, once for all into the heavenly sanctuary. This happened only one time, because with regard to the world's redemption, that was finished on Calvary. Nothing remained to be done or repeated. Thus, Christ is the high priest who has offered up the all-atoning sacrifice. As the book of Hebrews makes clear, he is the last, the final high priest, since no more sacrificial work is necessary. Our text says that Christ has secured an eternal redemption. This ransoming God had already planned in eternity before the foundation of the world. This payment with Christ's blood covers over our original sin, which goes back to the Garden of Eden. This purchasing takes care of all the trespasses that we have committed in the past in our thoughts, words, and deeds, and all those that we will commit in the future. This redemption stands from eternity to eternity. The seal, the guarantee that Christ's redeeming work is the everlasting answer for our sins is his resurrection from the dead. Because Christ and his self-sacrifice are the real thing, what blessed certainty and comfort we have. For those of us who are or will be professional church workers, what reassurance we can give to those in the parish we will be serving. Grasping Christ in faith, faith which the Holy Spirit has created and preserves in us through his means of grace, we have absolute confidence that we have forgiveness for every single one of our sins. When the devil tries to trouble us with our past transgressions, we say to him, "Get away, Satan." Christ, the great high priest, has offered up the sacrifice which fully covers over the totality of my sins. How this confidence is reinforced in the Lord's Supper. We receive the very body of Christ given into death for us. We receive his blood, which was shed to pay for our wrongs, which really, indeed, cleanses us from all sin. United in faith with the living Christ, our victorious Redeemer, we are sure of being strengthened by him through his word and supper, so that we lead godly lives. In the power of Christ, we resist the promptings of our sinful flesh and the temptations of Satan and do good works. As our text says, we serve God. Our lives are different from those of unbelievers who are spiritually dead. We are, as Paul writes in Romans, alive to God in Christ Jesus, living for His glory and for the good of others. Believing in Jesus, the real and only Savior, we have unshakable confidence in where we are headed, to heaven, to the awesome dwelling places Christ has prepared for us. We look forward to Judgment Day with complete confidence, knowing that the judge we will face is the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the earth, who bought us with His own blood, that we might live with Him forever. Therefore, exalt in this assurance and comfort which comes to us from our text and the rest of Scripture, and be eager to give this good news to others. For our confidence is not based on some symbol or foreshadowing or representative or imitation, but on the real thing, Jesus Christ and His redeeming work. In His name, amen.